Good morning. This particular gospel is one of my favorite gospels to talk about for lots of different reasons, but one is that around this particular scripture and the rest of this particular passage of the gospel, there are lots of stories of things being juxtaposed. In other words, there's two things, sort of, you're this or you're that, you're this or you're that. And in it, Jesus is trying to show us a way of being. Some people say that being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, is to follow a way, to be in a practice, to be someone who takes on particular characteristics. And in today's gospel, he shows us sort of hypocrisy and humility. Now, a Pharisee is someone who is in the know, knows the law, follows the rules, all those different things. And a tax collector, now I always have to be careful because in Kansas City we have lots of people who work for the IRS, and we have people here at the church who work for the IRS, so we're not thinking of modern day tax collectors in quite the same way. Maybe you are, but I'm not. So. But a tax collector at the time often were people who were known to be deceitful because they often got to take a little extra for themselves. They were despised because they represented Rome. They were, you know, all kinds of different things about them, but they were not holy people by any means. And Jesus says, here's my example to you. One comes in and says, I'm glad I'm not like these. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. And then the other comes in and won't lift his eyes up and says, God, you know, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm not worthy to be in your temple. Now, maybe we don't relate to that too much, but if we were to think about some things in our society, we might actually relate more than we can think. Maybe you don't use Facebook or you're not on these different ideas of all the different social medias, you know, Snapchat and Instagram and all this different stuff. But one of the things that people are talking about when they study it is when you post things or when you put things on these networks, we often put our best foot forward. In other words, the pictures that are put out are the best pictures, the best smile. Often, we can even edit them and make them look even better. You can cut the things out you don't want seen, or you can change the color or change the background. You can manipulate it so often what we're putting forward makes our vacations look much more exciting than everybody else's vacations. Or our holidays look much more happy. Or how we look looks a lot better. I challenge you, if you're on those networks, to try going through a few weeks and just put honest pictures up and see what happens. You know, how you really look in the morning. You know, that kind of stuff. People being really upset at dinner at Thanksgiving, you know. You know, the two that are over here talking about the two that are over here, you know, that kind of stuff. But maybe we can get more than we realize about the hypocrisy that Jesus is talking about. I will often put our best forward, but we might not be truly honest. To have humility means having vulnerability. To have humility that we hear in the scripture is to put oneself at risk of not being perfect, of not being all those things that society might heap on us. It means being vulnerable. And that Jesus says this is really what discipleship is about. We want you to be a disciple. We want you to recognize that you have faults, that you're not perfect, that you're struggling with all those different things that are going on in your life. And Jesus says, this is who you are, and this is who God sees you as. And that's a difficult place to be, but it changes us. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I don't want you to go to sleep. I'm going to talk a little bit about stewardship. Now, this is like when you're listening to an NPR station, and it's the fall fun drive, and you hear them come on, and what do? But you find another station to listen to, right? That's what I mean. Don't tune out. What does it mean for us to really live our lives as a disciple? What does it mean to really be a steward of the gifts that God has given us? To be a steward means to take care of something that doesn't belong to you. I think it's hard for us to see, but that's a place of humility. And when we look back and we really get into the scripture, we'll find that Jesus says something in particular. And this is a focus for me in my ministry. It's sort of part of my own mission statement when I think about how I go about doing things. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says the first part, which is echoed from the Shema, which is a part of the Old Testament, and he adds, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, if you do this, this is what the core of being a disciple is. So what does it mean to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? Heart is used to talk about blood, to talk about what sustains you, your body. To love God with all your heart means to love God with all your body. Where you direct it, where you do, how you take care of your body, what you do with it, how you go about using it in the world. To love the Lord your God with all your mind is to take the gift of reason, which is what separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom, by the way, if you didn't know that. It means that we can decide what we're going to do. We can overcome instinct. We can have rational thought. I know, it's hard to believe. We can have rational thought. We can plan ahead. We can remember what's happened in the past. We can look and utilize the skills to make incredible things happen. And so to love the God with all your heart is to use your body. To love God with all your mind is to use the God-given ability to think. What about your soul? The ancients would say that the soul is that which resides, that is permanent within us, that continues beyond our physical nature. To love the God with all your soul is to love God with that which will be sustained in God beyond this earthly vessel. That is the core of what makes us unique, what makes us, it's something that's a gift from God. It's at the center of our being. So it is to love God with the center of who you are. Now, what would that look like if you really went about doing that hard work? What if you thought about whatever it is you're going to do tomorrow, that you have to live in such a way that you're loving God with your heart, with your mind, and with your soul? I think it changes our perspective. And here's the thing. There's if you read my Apostle article, I wrote a little bit about an exercise that I suggested doing during November, and I'm not the originator of this by any means. One of the things that happens on social network is listing Thanksgivings during the month of November as you get ready for Thanksgiving itself. But it's an exercise of gratitude. And just so you know, I'm not making this up. It's not just a mere suggestion. There's actually science behind it, and there's actually scripture and tradition behind it. If we listen to the Psalms, more often than not, about half the Psalms are about expressing gratitude to God for all the things in our life, our body, our soul, our mind, for the creation that surrounds us, for the relationships that we have both with God and with our neighbor. Marty Seligman, who writes and studies this sort of idea in psychology, Brené Brown, who's a social worker who studies it, talks about how when we work on gratitude, it changes who we are. And one of the exercises they list, and anybody can do this, is to begin each day by making a list of maybe 5 to 10 things that you are grateful for. It can be simple things. I'm grateful that I have clean water. I'm grateful that I got out of bed today. I'm grateful for fingernail clippers. You know, the idea is to get sometimes into the very mundane, but it also might be I'm thankful for these relationships in our life. And the thing is not just to do it one day, but you do it every day for a while. And then each day you have to come up with something different. And that's where the trick in the exercise is because it begins to make you think during the day about what you're going to list to be grateful for the next day. Because it's hard work to come up with something different every day for a long time. And then what will happen is your mind and your perception will change. And you'll begin seeing things around you that you haven't seen for a while. You'll begin being grateful for things that you haven't thought to be grateful for in a long time. And your heart changes, and your mind changes, and your soul changes. I've done this, and it really changes you. An older priest, when I was first ordained, told me the novel idea of giving thanks for your parishioners. It changes you when you include parishioners every day in your prayer list and you give thanks to God for them. And he was so wise to say that. I remember when he said it to me, I thought, well, of course I give thanks. And he said, no. He said, I want you to pray for them and give thanks to God for them by name on a daily basis. Don't do everybody, do some each day. And Father Skilligorn, when he told me that, I took it to heart and began doing that work, and it really changes how you think about people. Not that I was thinking bad thoughts before, but it just changes your perspective. When we do that, we can begin to interact with the world differently. And here comes the second part of what Jesus says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you love yourself, and you see yourself as a gift from God, and you begin to love your neighbor as a gift from God, it can change how you see them. It means loving people or seeing them as a gift from God, even if they annoy you, even if they're someone you don't like to talk to, but it can change everything. And to me, all of that encompassed together is what stewardship is about. It's about taking care of what doesn't belong to us. It's about taking care of the gifts that God has given us in our heart, in our body, in our mind, in our thinking, in our soul, and in our being, and then loving the world around us. This is what is sort of a cornerstone in my own philosophy about ministry, about what we do. It's about having classes where we can entertain and think. It's about having ways of taking care of ourselves, of doing the things that we can do to be healthy and to be encouraged in our body and our strength. It's about seeing our spirit and our soul cared for. And if we think about the ministries that we go about here at St. Thomas, whether it be Sunday school or whether it be retreat groups or whether it be small groups or whether it be our outreach ministries or whether it be worship when we take time to pray or whether it be all the different things that happen here, all of them are grounded in this very idea, in this very teaching of Jesus. And I think when we fully embrace it, it changes who we are. It makes us disciples. Now back to that scripture. Boy, it's a good day. I'm at church. I serve on the vestry. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I gave a lot of money to St. Thomas. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like all those other people here. None of you have ever thought that, right? Of course not. If we enter our faith like that, we can begin to see that it's not really what Jesus is about. But if we come with humility, if we come seeking God's mercy, seeking that love, being a community like that, then we become a powerful group of people doing God's ministry and work. Because I tell you, it's hard being in the world right now. There are so many challenges, and man, are we sometimes afraid. But I think when we enter what Jesus teaches us, the world around us does change, and so do we. So maybe the challenge for you is to go about thinking about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. To really dive in to what that means for you. Each of you in this room are a gift from God. Each of you in this room have been given gifts in your life by God. Each of you in this room are called to love your neighbor. And it's hard work. But we got to be like that tax collector. We got to seek through humility the ministry that we're called to. And by doing that, we can love our neighbor as ourselves, as Jesus asks us to. So, are you going to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself? You can start today. You can start today and keep working on it each day. Be grateful for the gifts you've been given. Be grateful for the gift that God has given you. And the world will change. Amen.